Good morning. I want to wish a happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. I think we have a good service lined up for this morning. Also want to say that the ice cream social distanced last Sunday was just a great day. Some people have requested that we do that every day that ends with Y. We're not ready to do that yet, but I thought it was a great way for the church family to connect. We are not considering reopening until the very earliest July 12th. We will keep you posted on that. We've got a Skit Guys video that you're going to enjoy in just a moment here. I certainly think you'll enjoy it. And then when I come back, I'll have the privilege of sharing with you one of my all-time favorite father-son stories and see how it applies to us and our relationship with our Heavenly Father.
No matter how old we are, we always remember what our dads say and do.
My dad is more like Jesus than your dad.
Nuh-uh. My dad doesn't let anybody eat any food until we pray for it.
My dad prays for 1 minute every day.
You know what? Our church has pancakes.
This is what my sister Mom used for their blush.
My dad says that mean kids never know what they're talking about, because their parents don't know what they're talking about either.
My dad says to punch meanies in the face.
Then my mom says, don't ever do that.
And my dad goes to time out.
My dad's beard is itchy whenever he kisses me.
My dad takes me to church so we could learn to be just like Jesus.
My daddy prays for me.
Then he makes me stop talking and go to bed. Then I get a flashlight and read my comic book.
That's a sin. He's sinning.
No, I'm not.
Sinner.
No, I'm not.
R2. R2.
R2.
R2.
My dad said that if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it.
My dad never stays mad at me.
My dad taught me to forgive, because Jesus forgives us every time we ask.
I want a mohawk.
I wish I had hair.
It's okay, your hair will probably grow back.
Thanks for being our dads for all our lives.
I'm going to say a word, and I want you to just pause for a moment and think about what comes to mind, okay? The word is Father. What comes to mind? Is it good things? Are they happy memories? Is there pain? Is there disappointment? Joy? Love? Respect? Ambivalence? Some crazy combination of all of them? I'm going to try another one. This is two words. Heavenly Father. What comes to mind? What do you feel when I say Heavenly Father? See, in a lot of ways, we put how we feel about our earthly father on the Heavenly Father. God can work with us on that, but we need to be aware of where we're at. We need to understand what our story is and what our predisposition is. I have a friend, I haven't seen him in many years, but we used to go on mission trips together way back in the day in the 70s. And he essentially grew up without a dad. And yet, when he came to Christ, he said it was an advantage to him. Even though his dad had abandoned him, he didn't really have a negative image. It was kind of a blank image. And it really helped him. But sometimes we think that Jesus, oh man, Jesus gets us, right? Jesus loves us. But the Heavenly Father, man, well, you know, he's kind of dad and he's kind of grumpy sometimes. Thank God for Jesus. There's this generation gap in heaven, but thank goodness we've got Jesus. I don't think that's really true. And today we're going to look at the Father heart of our God. Before we do that, would you pause with me wherever you're at, or whenever you're listening to this, and pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak through your word. I pray that you'd speak through the story of a father and son, and help us to consider that if a man could love his son this much, certainly you love us this much. Father, there are some folks today that on Father's Day, there's not all good memories. Father, I pray that you would heal those tapes, as we used to say. Father, for some of us today, we're missing our dads. Bring comfort. For others, I pray that you would give the ability to become better dads. May that be our goal, to be the best dads that we possibly can. Speak to us now from your word, I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you ever find out too late that somebody liked you? There's somebody in grade school, high school, you had a crush on them, and you found out later that they liked you too. Oh, but it's too late. I remember Heidi told me a story, and I shared it at her son Kenny's memorial, that at the church we all grew up at, and we're all part of when we were all younger, but where Kenny grew up, there were certain girls that would chase him around and throw things at him and tease him, and he'd come home and complain to Heidi. You know, why do these girls do this? Like, they're mean, they're crazy. And Heidi laid some knowledge on Kenny. She said, they do that because they like you. I wish someone had told me that a lot sooner in life. It would have helped me understand a lot of things. But don't you think it's true that there have been some times where we missed opportunities because we just didn't realize what was in somebody else's heart? I think that happens with God, our Heavenly Father, all the time. That we think He's this distant father figure. That we think He's sort of this absentee dad. So I wonder how many of us get how much the Heavenly Father loves us. The beautiful sunset the other day. The light source 93 million miles away. Why did He do that? Why did God create sunsets? Could it possibly be that He did that for your enjoyment, for my enjoyment? Why did He create the mountains? Why the oceans? How did He know how much pleasure that would bring to us? Or seeing the stars at night? Or things that are moonlit? And how about a hummingbird? Why would He create a hummingbird? Oh, I know, there's a cycle of life, there's all these different things. But folks, He created these things for us. Did He ever send a bill? No. He just does these things because He loves us. When you love someone, you want them to have wonderful experiences. So He gives us this big, beautiful planet. Now, we've messed some things up. But do we understand that God does the things that He does because He loves us? And then we had kind of made a mess out of things relationally in a lot of other ways, and we were broke. And He sends His Son. That's what it says. For God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son to be our Savior, to give us everything that we needed. It's not like He wasn't involved with that. It's His heart. Jesus is His emissary to us. I think that we would all do well to just pause and think about just how much God loves us. But if we don't realize all these things around us are an expression of His love, we just walk through every day like, oh man, I wish God would notice me. If we get it, it'll transform our lives. I really believe that. I want to share a human story. It's about Team Hoyt. I give some credit to Rick Riley with Sports Illustrated. I first came across the story of the father, Dick, and the son, Ricky. It was about 15 years ago. I read it in Sports Illustrated. And you can check out all sorts of videos, and there were some that we could embed in our presentation today, but there's some that we could not. And the one I'd really like you to see, we will put up on the church Facebook page immediately following this. And it's put to the music of I Can Only Imagine by Mercy Me. And it's just powerful. But I'm going to tell some of their story, and then I'm just going to ask some questions and point out a few scripture verses. So the story begins in 1962 when Ricky is born, and he was born in the actual, when he was being born, the umbilical cord was wrapped around his neck. And so he was born with cerebral palsy. He didn't have control over any of his limbs. He's a quadriplegia. And from the very beginning, the doctors did not give a good report. They didn't give a good report at all. As a matter of fact, this is a quote Dick says, he was told he'll be a vegetable for the rest of his life. Put him in an institution. At 9 months old, he was being told to put his son in an institution. But the Hoyts weren't buying it. They believed that something was going on. They would follow Ricky's eyes around the room. And when he was 11 years old, they took him to Tufts University. And they said, is there some way that we can get some sort of computer thing hooked up so that he can communicate? They were told by one of the engineers there, no way. There's nothing going on in his brain. Man, that's brutal. There's nothing going on in his brain. Dick said, oh yeah? Well, tell him a joke. So the doctor tells him a joke, and Ricky laughs. They knew that he was in there. And so they rigged up this computer that allowed him to control a sensor, a cursor, and he was able to communicate. Since then, it's been able to be connected so that it actually verbalizes it. He can't just like peck things out, but it puts words together for him. He's actually, like, on the ESPYs, he was able to give a speech. It's pretty cool. So, turns out he's really a bright kid. He graduated from high school. He graduated from from Boston University with a degree in special education, went on to have a job, have his own apartment, did receive some care, but he was independent. And they were told that he was a vegetable. Amazing story. Check out all the videos you can about Team Hoyt. You'll find all kinds of interesting information. And I'll tell you what, the I Can Only Imagine one, I dare you not to cry. I dare you not to cry when you watch it. So, what do you think his first words were? I think this is pretty cool. I mean, it's like, hey, Dad, love you, Mom. Just to give you an idea of all the stuff that he was listening to and he was aware of but was never able to communicate. Well, he grew up in the Boston area. Yeah, his first words were, go Bruins. He was a hockey fan. Who knew it? Who knew it? He did. And he finally got a chance to put it into words. And then there was a student at school, and they were doing a fundraiser for him because he too was facing a handicap. And they were going to have this, it was like, I think it was a 5-mile race to raise funds. And so he was able to peck out, Dad, I want to do that. Well, how is he going to do it? What he's saying, Dad, I want you to push me in a wheelchair for 5 miles. Not walking, running. And his dad was a self-proclaimed porker. The most he ever ran was a mile. And he's like, are you serious, son? But they did it. And I think at first they just thought they were just going to stay back in the pack and they weren't going to, but they ran the whole thing. And Dick said afterwards, I was the handicapped one because I was sore for 2 weeks. But then there was a statement that Ricky made. I call him Ricky just so we don't confuse Dick and Rick. You might read other things where they just call him Rick. I'm calling him Ricky for that reason. I hope you understand. So that day changed Ricky's life because here's what he said. Dad, when we were running, it felt like I wasn't disabled anymore. When we were running, it felt like I wasn't disabled anymore. Do you know what that did for his father? He became obsessed with giving his son that feeling as much as he possibly could. Do you think that's how your Heavenly Father thinks and feels about you? I do. I think he really does. So, that sentence changed Dick's life. They did all kinds of different stuff, and I mean, Dick got in incredible shape. He'd been kind of a couch potato before that. And then they were ready to try the 1979 Boston Marathon, 26.2 miles. Now, I've come close to considering doing the Boston or a Chicago Marathon or whatever, but, and I'm done running. But that's incredible to think that you'd do it pushing somebody else. So, but they were told no way by the authorities with the Boston Marathon. Why? Well, you don't qualify as a single runner, nor do you qualify as a person in a wheelchair. We have those two groups. We don't have a group for two people doing it together. And so they just told him no way. And so for a few years, what Dick would do is just run other marathons and try to get good qualifying times. But he also just joined the massive field and ran anyway. So he didn't have a number on his back, but I guess who's going to stop you when you're pushing your son in a wheelchair? Then they finally got into the race officially. And in 1983, they ran for the first time in the Boston Marathon. Then somebody said, hey, Dick, how about a triathlon? Now, I mean, you've got to be kidding me. Here's the truth of this story. So he learns to run. I mean, running is, that's cool. And I've been a runner. And this guy's a far better runner than I ever was. But there's a problem here. He hadn't ridden a bike since he was 6 years old. Okay, you never forget how to learn how to ride a bike once you learn. He didn't know how to swim. He'd never done it. So, and how are you going to do it? It means that you have to hook up some sort of thing on you, a rope, and pull someone behind in a boat. That's crazy. Well, they did it. They did it. I'll give you some of the stats in a little bit. They did all kinds of triathlons. They even did Ironman races, which are like triathlons on steroids. which is absolutely crazy. As a matter of fact, and I love this, that Ricky said this, that they were both inducted into, I don't remember if it was the Ironman or the Triathlete Hall of Fame. He said, I was the 26th inductee and my dad was the 27th. And he kind of smiles and he's saying it through the cursor. He said, because I always finished ahead of him. I thought that was, as they would say in Boston, that's some wicked good humor. Yeah, I was finished ahead of my dad. They did over 250 triathlons. 250 triathlons, including at least four of the 15-hour Ironmans. Now, can you imagine you're some 25-year-old and you think you're in pretty good shape, and then you got this guy who's like 60 years old with his son in a little dinghy and a boat behind him swimming by you. Like, well, there's a buzzkill. Yeah, you thought you had it all together until that. So I'll give you the numbers on how many Boston Marathons that they ran. But in 1992, they completed the Boston Marathon in 2 hours and 40 minutes. 2 hours and 40 minutes. That is 35 minutes off the world's record. And that guy wasn't pushing somebody else. That is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Some of the stats, one of the things that Ricky likes to say about his dad, well, one of the things he says is that that I've absolutely got the dad of the century. And I don't think anybody's going to argue with him. But one of the things that he likes to point out is that the average triathlete weighs 167 pounds. He said, my dad weighs 180. My chair, because it's special, weighs 70 pounds. And I weigh another 100. So that makes us 350 pounds. That's over twice as much as the average triathlete. And that's not counting like pulling the boat, the bike that's special. You know, those are extra weights as well. Absolutely amazing what these two were able to do together. But you know, a lot of times people say, well, that's just a one-sided thing. But it did so much good for Dick to bring this joy to his son, Ricky. And not only that, about 2003, Dick had a heart attack. And a mild heart attack during a race. But the doctors found that he had arteries that were up to 95% clogged. And they said, if you weren't in as good a shape as you are, you probably would have died 15 years ago. And so Dick said, in a way, he saved my life as well. As I mentioned, he's got his own apartment now and just has lived a really cool life. And they said he was a vegetable. I love one of the lines from that Dick said. He's got that wicked good Boston humor too. He's just like, yeah, well, what kind of vegetable is he? What kind of vegetable is my son? He always believed in him. On nights after they would do a marathon or a triathlon, whatever it was, yeah, Ricky would take his dad out to dinner. And he would pay. And the one thing that he said is that he would like most is that my dad would sit in the chair and I would push him once. Well, that's not going to happen on this side of eternity. But man, wouldn't that be cool someday? I just want to share some of the stats. And I believe these are up-to-date stats. 257 triathlons. That's running, swimming, and biking. Absolutely amazing. Included in those numbers are 6 Ironman distances, 7 half Ironman, 22 duathlons, 72 marathons, 32 of which were Boston marathons. I could go on. But as of March 22nd, 2016, and they are retired now, 1,130 races. Did I mention that they rode across America on a bike? And it wasn't a straight line either, because they came across from the left coast all the way, and they hit pretty far south, and then they had to ride all the way up to Boston. I think it was around 4,000 miles. An absolutely amazing story. So, let me ask you the question. Do you think Dick Hoyt loves his son Ricky more than your Heavenly Father loves you? I want you to think about that question. He sent his son. He created the universe for you to enjoy. Wouldn't it be a tragedy if we missed out on that? 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "See how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us His children, and that is what we are." That's what it says in John chapter 1, as to as many who received Him, He gave them the power to become sons and daughters. All we have to do is believe and receive. Do we get it? So, 6 years ago, coming up next month, I spoke at my father's funeral. And one of the things that I always remember that I said, because it's something that I only really remember happening one time, but when I was about 4 years old, so about 57 years ago, my dad sat down and sang, "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine," to me. I've never forgotten it. I shared it that day. You probably don't know what Zephaniah 3:17 says, right? Not a lot of people do. He was one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament. I don't know why we call him minor. I guess just because his book isn't as long as Isaiah, Jeremiah's, and Ezekiel's. But prophets sometimes have this way of communicating the very heart of God. And here's what it says, that he will take delight in you, that your heavenly Father will take delight in you. With his love, he will calm your fears. How many of you today could use a heavenly Father to put his arm around you and with his love, calm your fears? Then it says, he will rejoice over you with singing. Not us singing. Not us singing some hymn at church. Him singing. Your heavenly Father singing something like, "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine." God can create anything in the world, anything in the universe. The one thing he refuses to create is love. He waits for us to respond to his love. He won't make us love him. You can't make someone love you. That has been sung so many times. It has to come from the other person. And when you choose to love your heavenly Father back, that blesses his heart. But I love that verse in Zephaniah 3:17. He will rejoice over you with singing. It's like he's singing, "You are my sunshine." I think of the Hoyts when the doctors told them there's nothing going on inside your son's head, that he's a vegetable. Do you know what? Ricky heard that. Ricky understood that. How many messages did we get when we were young? Not good messages, bad messages. I remember back in the 80s, we called them tapes. Sometimes as your parents just kept saying something to you as negative over and over again, "You're useless. What's wrong with you?" Just all sorts of different messages. It's not just from our parents. Sometimes we get them from our friends, right? I mean, can you think of some of the cruel things that some friends have said? I thought about some of those things and I thought, nah, I don't want to include those in this message. How about social media? Just some of the things that people label us. Remember those label things where you would, and then the plastic thing would come out, it would push, either you know what I'm talking about or you don't. Was it Zippo or something? And you peel it off and you stick it on, it's a label. Or how about, you know, you go to a party and or a social gathering and you had a name tag, and then sometimes people are creative. Sometimes people put one on your back, says something like "kick me" or something like that. But folks, we pick up labels. We pick up all kinds of labels. Ricky heard that he was a vegetable, but he had a father who didn't believe it. You have heard all sorts of things and people have put labels on you. I'm going to give you a blank and then you can, the word after it's addict. And you know, a lot of us might joke, "Oh, I'm a chocolate-holic. I'm addicted to chocolate." And it's cute, it's kind of funny, whatever. There's probably not many of us who at some point in our life haven't had the label and recognized, yeah, I'm addicted to something. And that's when your Heavenly Father gives up on you, right? That's when your Heavenly Father says, "That's it. I'm done with you." No. Your Heavenly Father never gives up on you. And when other people put those labels on you, the way they did on little Ricky, the way his father would not give up, nor does your Heavenly Father give up on you. You're his kid. He'd do anything for you. He's crazy about you. I mean, do you get it that, you know, we've done some things in the family room and we've got family pictures from my side of the family and Heidi's side. She's done a great job with that. Do you get it? Your family? You understand what I'm saying? Your picture's on his wall. Oh, there's lots of pictures. But don't let that diminish. I mean, When you have your seventh grandchild born, your eighth grandchild, it's not like, okay, I'm going to stop loving the first one now. No. That is how God feels about you. He will never, ever give up on you. I remember many years ago, someone that I know knew both guys way back in the day. One guy got really involved with drugs, and this other guy said, that's a hopeless cause. That right there, my friend, is a hopeless cause. Well, that hopeless cause is a pastor now in the Chicagoland area, because he's got a Heavenly Father who loves him. And so do you. Your Heavenly Father believes in you. Sometimes I marvel at it. What was God thinking when Jesus says, here are the keys to the kingdom? If you're a parent, you know what it is, the first time you gave the keys to automobile to a 16-year-old. What are you thinking? Man, I can't tell you how many times in working with students over the years, some student would come up to me all excited, just saying, I got my permit, I'm driving home. And I'd just say, I'll be praying. Thanks for the warning. I'm staying off the roads. But God gave us the keys to the kingdom. There's no backup plan. Oh, and we've made a mess out of a lot of things in the church. But God believes in us. Your Heavenly Father believes in you. In Christ, we have the very spirit, the DNA of God. That's what He gives to us when we receive the Holy Spirit. You know, I grew up hearing the Holy Ghost, and that used to scare me. But boy, the more I understand it, especially the Gospel of John just unlocks it. Chapter 14, 15, 16 just really unlocks what the Holy Spirit wants to do within us. We have it. I shared a word of hope thing probably a couple months ago, and I was standing right over there, and I talked about how as I've grown older, well, and I've had to watch myself on Zoom, and I watched myself with West Hills. I've never seen myself in motion this ever. But one of the cool things was I realized that my mouth starts to remind me of my dad, and that's just a cool thing. Why? Because I love my dad, but also because it's in my DNA. And when you've got the Holy Spirit within you, you've got God's DNA. If you just let it happen, it will happen. You'll become more like your father. And then I think about it. It's like, I don't want to get my mouth to look like it, my earthly dad. I want my mouth to be like my Heavenly Father's mouth, because all that comes out of His mouth is blessing. As we grow older, dads, grandfathers, isn't that what you want to come out of your mouth? Blessing? Things that are going to give hope to younger generations? Yeah, I think so. So I was texting Hope Rose. She's stepped in to do some performance numbers for us. A very gifted young lady. Hard to believe that I've known her for 7 years, because she's just very young and gets very talented from a very early age. But we were texting back and forth, and she sent me a demo of a song. She said, it's not really a church song. And I'll tell you what, it might not be a church song, but when I listened to that song about 3 weeks ago, it hit me right here. In a way, I'm being straight with you. It hit me about the message of how much our Heavenly Father loves us. I had a moment. I hope you have a moment when you listen to the song in just a bit. The one simple line, probably more than anything else, it's a conversation she's having with her dad, and how her dad's saying, pretty much him talking to her, how he, whatever happens with her, I'll always be your biggest fan. I'll always be your biggest fan. And he says, I love you more than you can ever understand. Do you believe that about your Heavenly Father? If you do, and I'm coming to understand it better at 60, it's changing my life. Doesn't matter whether you're 16, 60, or 96 today. If you start believing that God loves you more than you could understand, if you start to understand that He loves you like Dick Hoyt loves Ricky Hoyt, it doesn't matter what age you are, it'll transform your life. So I hope that you just take a moment, that you listen to the song, and that you'll imagine that it's your Heavenly Father singing the song to you. Here's Hope Rose.
Held my head when I was scared, told me, darling, Daddy's little girl, when you need me,
Take just a moment and pray. Heavenly Father, for some of us, this is a difficult day. Give your grace to those who need that today. Help us to be the kind of people that are going to encourage the dads around us. Help us to see the qualities in them that they don't yet see. Help us to encourage the encouragers. This is a time where young people, if ever, have needed good dads. Father, I pray that for those that might be listening today, they say, I've never put my trust in Christ. I've never said, I want to be a child of God. I pray that they might grab a hold of Christ by faith and what he's done for them, and that they're welcome into the family. And I'd be happy to text them, email them, talk to them about how they can grow in their relationship with you. Bless each person who hears this today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One final thought, and that is that Russ is putting the I Can Only Imagine Team Hoyt video on our church Facebook page. I challenge you, watch it, and don't shed a tear. Have a great week.